Well, hello, everybody. Welcome into the Deep Dive podcast. I am Pastor Tim. I'm so glad you guys are joining us. If you are joining us live, that's awesome. Super glad you guys are here with us. If you are joining live, go ahead and let me know in the comments. And I would love to be able to talk back and forth to you again. We're studying the Bible together. That's what this is. And so my hope is that you get just as much out of this as I do. And then God speaks to you in different ways. Again, as I say pretty much every time we do this, I am not studying the Bible for you. I'm studying the Bible with you. I just want to give you tools and just some ideas that come to mind on really how to study the Bible. And we're going through the book of Daniel today specifically, as you'll see right there on the screen. Today, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2. It looks like a lot, but we're going to, I'll explain. And so Daniel chapter 2, verse 10 through 23. Okay. So go ahead and grab your Bible, grab your notebook, grab your pen, all of the things. Let's get ready to do this podcast thing together. Let's get ready to study the Bible. We get to study the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good thing. So make sure you've got your Bible. Make sure you got a notebook. Make sure you got a pen. I've got my beautiful next gen notebook right here, ready to go. I have my prestigious Liberty University Flames Club slightly deteriorating red pen that actually is falling apart pretty bad. But that, you know why? It's because I use it. See? It's because I'm using it. So I've got my pen. I've always got my Bible with purple pages because purple's great, you know? Purpley, silver, whatever stuff. I'm ready to go. I hope you are as well. Again, as always, if you are joining live, it's just me. In this entire church building, it's just Timmy. So all the more reason to hop in and say hello and let me know that you're listening with me. Lots of great things happening in our church. Okay. So as always, to keep up to date with everything going on, you can visit our church website right there. You can support our church by merch, getting some merch. We'll actually give away some merch every now and then. Sadly enough, our last podcast that we did, I gave away a free pair of socks and nobody claimed them. So we're going to try again, I guess. All right. So anyway, let's see. Okay. So Daniel chapter 2, we're going to get going into our biblical narrative here, the story. Last time we were together, we did Daniel chapter 2 verses 1 through 9 and really kind of just focused on the theme of dreams, and the importance in that time period for dreams. So we grabbed out all of the actual books on the shelf and cracked into those things to see what the significance of dreams was back when this was written, okay? Which was really important. And really what we figured out in this portion, if you guys remember, King Nebuchadnezzar, we'll nickname him AKA King Nebi. He had a bad dream. It scared him. And so what he decided to do was he was going to call together all of his magicians and wise men and all this kind of stuff. And he didn't just ask them to interpret the dream. He asked them to tell him the dream that he had, maybe because he forgot his dream, whatever. He just knew that it was significant. And he had confidence that if they could tell him what his dream was, he could also trust them to interpret that dream. And why the emphasis? Well, dreams meant a lot, especially this was a very different dream than normal. And it had to do with really the outcomes of his rule. He was a young ruler and he wanted to make sure that he was going to be sitting on the throne. Because if you remember, how do you take a throne away from somebody? It's not just asking by walking up and saying, hey, may I please have your throne? They didn't hold elections. You were either in the bloodline and dad died and so you took over, or you just took it by force. And so he's obviously concerned for his rule. And so he wants to make sure that he understands where this dream is coming from. Which we also looked at. We also looked at the fact that this dream is coming, this vision in a dream is coming from God, which is weird at first to think of, that God is speaking to somebody that's not following him. But remember, that teaches us that God is sovereign. He's a sovereign over all peoples, whether we claim him as our Lord or not. He's still Lord over all. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Hey, even if, Even if you don't follow him, he is still in control, in complete control. So lots was talked about last week, but it was a little different because, again, we're getting into narrative. Okay. And so, as always, we want to mark down words that might stand out to us. We want to mark down phrases that kind of confuse us, write down questions, all those kinds of things. But we're going to try something else today. As we go through Daniel chapter 2, that I think is a great tool for understanding and interpreting narrative, which, again, a narrative is basically just a story, a real story, but a recollection of events with the conversations and characters involved and all that kind of stuff. It's like you're reading a story, which this very much is. And so my hope today is that we're going to get a little bit of a tool, another way of studying this kind of stuff to glean the application or the moral of the story or the truth hidden within. As we go through this, please don't hear me telling you that this is not a real story, that we're just, this is something made up that we need to try and learn a lesson from. This is a real event, and this really happened, and we want to make sure that we study it faithfully, because even though it's a real event, that doesn't mean that there's nothing we can learn from it. Okay. So grab that Bible, grab that notebook, grab that pen, turn in your Bible to Daniel chapter 2, verses 10 through 23. And we're going to get rolling right away. Okay. Here we go. I'm even on the wrong page. All right. Starting in verse 10. The Chaldeans answered the king, "No one on earth can make known what the king requests. Consequently, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked anything like this of any magician, medium, or Chaldean." Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar is asking them to tell him his dream, not just tell me the interpretation, but to tell him what the dream was. Okay. "What the king is asking is so difficult that no one can make it known to him except the gods, whose dwelling is not with mortals." Notice that it's lowercase g. "Because of this, the king became violently angry and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree was issued that the wise men were to be executed, and they searched for Daniel and his friends to execute them. Then Daniel responded with tact," ooh, that stands out to me, "and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the king's officer, 'Why is the decree from the king's so harsh?' Then Arioch explained the situation to Daniel. So Daniel went and asked the king to give him some time, so that he could give the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, urging them to ask the God of the heavens for mercy concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of Babylon's wise men. The mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night, and Daniel praised the God of the heavens." Okay. And then it goes into his praise, "and declared, 'May the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you have given me wisdom and power. And now you have let me know what we asked of you, for you have let us know the king's mystery." Okay, so that's our first flyover. Now we're going to read it again, okay? Which this is when you've got to have your notebook right here all set up. Okay, so I'm going to write the passage that we're in. I always like to write the date, all right? So today is March 20th, 2025. And I'm going to write deep dive Daniel 2, 10 through 23. Okay. Now, again, this first step is called observation, all right? This is where we're going to read back through it, and we're going to write down things that are going to stand out, but, well, I'll get to that when I get to that. So, again, we're going to read through it again, and what I encourage you to do with your Bible open as you read, or sorry, with your notebook open as you read, write down things that stand out to you. These can be words that stand out to you. These could be phrases that stand out to you. This could be something that prompts a question in your brain. The question could be, what does that mean? Or what is that? So you're just going to write those things down. Don't worry about looking into them. Don't worry about getting answers. Who knows? I might write down three things. You might write down 15. All right. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is illumination, where he shows us different things as we study God's word faithfully. So write down the things that stand out to you. Even if you think it's not significant, just write it down. Okay. So we're going to read back through this. And here we go. Starting in verse 10. The Chaldeans answered the king, "No one on earth can make known what the king requests. Consequently, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked anything like this of any magician, medium, or Chaldean. What the king is asking is so difficult that no one can make it known to him except the gods, whose dwelling is not with mortals." Because of this, the king became violently angry and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree was issued that the wise men were to be executed, and they searched for Daniel and his friends to execute them. It's going to stand out there right there. So Daniel and his friends were considered wise men. I'm going to write that down. And another thing that I like to do whenever I write something that stands out to me is I always put the verse that I'm referring to when I'm writing that down. Okay, so that's from verse 16. Verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, about the matter, urging them to ask the God of the heavens for mercy." Notice that right there, it is a capital G, God, right? "Urging them to ask the God of the heavens for mercy concerning this matter." I like that word, mercy. Because in my little brain, mercy means not receiving what you do deserve. So that's kind of interesting choice of word there. So grace is receiving what you don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what you do deserve. Okay. So I'm going to look into that word. It sounds interesting to me. And oh, I like this word. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. Anytime the word mystery shows up in the Bible, that's like one of my favorite Bible words. So that word mystery is used right there in verse 18. That stands out to me as well. So Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of Babylon's wise men. The mystery, there's that word mystery again. So I'm going to write down verse 19 next to there as well. "Was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night. And Daniel praised the God of the heavens and declared, 'May the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you have given me wisdom and power. And now you have let me know what we asked of you, for you have let us know the king's mystery." There's that word mystery again. Okay. So we can look into this stuff. Whatever you have written down as your observations. Again, this is where we kind of move beyond just reading the text, and then now we can look into what the words mean, what the phrases, just all that stuff, that the questions that we have, all that stuff that stands out to us, right? We'll use Blue Letter Bible. Now, I will tell you this, odds are we are going to return to that passage maybe next week, because let me just tell you, when we get to what their praise is in verses 20 to 23, oh my gosh, there's a lot in there that has to deal with a lot of theology. I mean, if you think about just the way we understand God, which let me just stop and say this too. One of the most important reasons why we study the Bible is because it helps us understand God a little bit more. And remember, we will never fully understand God. He is God. If you can fully understand God, he's not God. So there's these mysteries, there's that word again, that we will never understand. But one of the best things about reading scripture is it helps you understand a little bit more about how vast and powerful and wonderful and how he relates to you and all that kind of stuff is. And oh my gosh, I mean, look at verses 20 to 23. I mean, if we just read that just by itself, there's so many words we could look up. I mean, he's the one that's going to, that holds, right? Wisdom and power belong to him. It's not that he's wise and powerful. Wisdom and power belong to him. Like, they're his. He changes times and seasons. Like, just think about that sentence by itself. God is the one that changes times and seasons. You know what that means? He's not inactive, right? What that tells me is that God is not just sitting up there waiting for the end of time. That tells me, I mean, think of the implications of these things. He's the one that changes times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. This God that we serve is busy, right? He's active, and he calls us to be the same. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He gives it, right? And not only does it belong to him, but then he shares it. That's really important to understand. And then I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my fathers, because you have given me wisdom and power. Daniel was very, very clear. He understood this was not his talent. This was given to him by God. So even just in those verses, we can unpack a lot. There's a lot that we can get out of those verses right there. But let me give you a great Bible study tool. What I just did. What I just did right there does not require a degree. What I just did right there is taking time to think about what I just read. Now, sometimes you'll read something and you don't know what to think about it. It's really confusing to you. And that could be, there's a word that's used that it doesn't make sense because of something that in history, or maybe it's just a big word that doesn't really make sense to you. But just think about that. This is why, if you come to me and you say, oh man, I read the book of Daniel today. That's great. Like, you're reading God's word, but I don't really know if that's effective, right? Because again, there's so much. This is a book about God's story, right? And so there's so much to understand. I mean, just think about that sentence that you just read, especially if it's talking about God, right? If it is a sentence that is about God himself, his character, his whatever it may be, I mean, just think about what that means, right? Ask that question. What does this mean? Okay. And so we can do that with a lot of this. I know we covered a lot of verses today, but here's what I want to do. And I think this is pretty fun. Obviously, let me just recap this. Okay. I'm going to share my screen with you. So obviously we saw a lot of words that kind of stood out to us. So as always, if this is your first time watching this podcast, this is Blue Letter Bible. Okay. So whenever we are curious at what a word means, we type let me just go back here. We type the passage up here in the top corner. Okay. Daniel chapter 2. We choose the translation that we're using. Find the verse where the word is. For me, it's this word mystery. I click on tools. And if it's a word that we're curious about, we're going to look at the interlinear. And if it's a question or whatever it may be, we want to understand more of what's happening. That's going to be in a commentary or a dictionary, whatever it may be. If we want to see where else in the Bible this is talked about, we're going to click on cross references. Okay. So right now, let's just go, okay, go ahead. So I want to look at this word mystery. I've seen it a few times. I saw it once in verse 18, once in verse 19, and once in verse 23. So let's look there and make sure that every time it's the same word, because it could be different Aramaic or Hebrew words, which this would be in Aramaic. But I mean, you might translate it the same in English. So this is the word Raz. Okay. H7328. That's verse 18. So let's look at verse 19, tools, interlinear. Raz, there it is again. Okay, so same word. And tools on verse 23. Going to go down. It's near the end of the verse. It's actually the last word of the verse. This matter. Okay. You have made known to us this matter. See, so my Bible, this is a different word. My Bible says, have let us know the king's mystery. This says, has let us know this matter, right? So this is a different word right here, okay? So again, all the more reason, even though my Bible translated as mystery, translates it as mystery every single time, it's obviously a different word for verse 23, okay? But again, just to kind of show you how to do this, we'll click on tools. We'll click on the word mystery, and then this Strong's number right here. I'm going to click on that, and let's see what this is. Ooh, I like this. A mystery or a secret, right? To hide, figuratively. Okay, let's see where else it's used in the Bible. To conceal. So this is something that the king has concealed, right? And we know that from the story, because again, this is the king saying, hey, I want you to actually tell me what my dream is. So it looks like this word, now this is, if I scroll down a little bit, this is other places in the Bible, concordance results shown using ESV. These are other places in the Bible where this word mystery is used. So this says Strong's number H7328 matches the Hebrew word raz, which occurs 9 times in 8 verses. Okay. So it looks like, for the most part, this word is only used in the book of Daniel, which is pretty interesting. Pretty cool to note, okay? All right. So that's just, again, that's how you use that tool to look up words. The commentaries, you'll click on commentaries, you'll find text commentaries, and just, again, like read a little bit more, which you could do for what I want to do today. So what we're going to do today, and this is a really great way of understanding or trying to understand what narrative is. So remember, narrative. Oh, Joel hopped in the comments there. What's up, Joel? Sorry, that was a while ago. So this is a narrative, which is a story, right? So, I mean, just like anything, any movie you watch, I'm sorry if I'm going to ruin this for you, but whenever you see a Disney movie or you see, like I just watched The Gladiator, right? Most of the time, a person is going to create a story, even if it's about a historical event, and that director, producer, writer, they're going to try and get you to look at things from a specific angle or truth that they're trying to get you to see, okay? So let me give you an example. I don't know why this is the movie that popped into my head, when I was growing up, there was a movie called Fern Gully. Now, on the cover, it looks like a movie about fairies and this little forest and all this kind of stuff, which sure it is about those things. But I got to tell you, watching it as an adult, definitely a huge political agenda in that story. Let's just say the bad guy in that movie is basically pollution, like an anthropomorphized, which means he's been given human features. He can talk, that's been trapped in this tree. And now he's been let loose and they're cutting down the forest and all this kind of stuff. Right. So again, as a kid, you might think, yeah, okay, cool. The reason why I liked the movie was because one of the main characters was a regular dude, and the fairies used magic on him, and he actually got shrunk down to a really small size, and he had to figure out how to, you know, grow again or whatever, and he had to deal with all the fairies, and they were mean to him or whatever, and then he helped them save the forest, right? But when I was little, I used to want to do that. Like, I used to want to shrink down, right? But unfortunately, hey, just like anything else, okay, a great modern-day version of that would be the movie Avatar. If you guys have seen the first Avatar movie, I think they're working on a third one. Great movies, right? I love these movies. But the first one is very clearly politically driven. Now, you could think that it's a movie about aliens and it's a take on what would happen if we discovered an alien race. And we go up there, and all of a sudden, what does it show? Oh, man, you know, we're just going to get up there and be destructive, and we're going to destroy. We already destroyed our environment. We're going to destroy another one. And so be mindful or whatever. In fact, Caitlin and I were just talking that you can't watch an animal documentary anymore today without there being something about global warming, right? So all that to say, even if it is a true story, if you think of the movie Oppenheimer, for example, all of them are going to have a specific message that the director is going to try and get you to take away from that, right? And they're going to use different imagery and stuff like that to teach that lesson, okay? So one of the greatest tools to do that is I had a professor when I was in seminary that said, you don't actually know something until you can explain it to a four-year-old, right? Which is so true. And if you think about the most common everyday thing, a four-year-old is not going to easily understand that, right? So what I think it would be a great tool to provide for you when you're reading narrative, okay? We just read this big chunk. We're actually going to back up all the way to verse 1, okay? We're going to go verse 1 to verse 23. And so what I want us to do is I want us to, we're going to make a different section in our notebook, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to summarize this story. And I know that might sound weird, but again, to try and get a grasp on the entirety of this story, which we're not even fully through this whole story yet, one of the best things to do is try and put it in your own words, okay? So we're gonna read a couple of sentences, maybe a few sentences to get to a good closing point, and we're gonna try and write it in our own words, and then we'll read that back and see if we can understand a little bit more of what lessons there are to learn. Joel in the comments says, is the narrative a point of view of the writer or his perspective as a writer? It depends. This is not necessarily the perspective of the writer. Like, I don't think that this is politically driven necessarily, but this is included in scripture for a reason. Okay. What I was meaning to say is when you tell a story, there's always a reason why you're telling that story. Okay. So with a historical account specifically, it's different when it is, and I should clarify, not all narratives are true, right? So Harry Potter, the book Harry Potter would technically be a narrative, but it's not a true story. Okay. So naturally, if it's not a true story, you can build in all kinds of different weaving morals and things to learn. And we could sit there and talk all day long about all of those things. But when you share a historical event, right, when you tell the story of a real event in history, number one, you're telling that story for a reason. You know, one of the most important reasons why we actually learn history is so that way we don't repeat the mistakes and we can actually learn from the good things that happen in history, like we're doing right now. But also oral tradition, which was very, very common in ancient times, was to make sure that the lessons learned passed through generations, right? Just like here. So there's lessons to be learned here. And here's the other great part about reading scripture. You might learn something totally different than me. There might be a totally different moral that stands out to you from this story. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go just a couple of verses at a time. So you got to have your notebook ready or you got to type it out, whatever. And we're just going to kind of summarize what's going on. And we're going to deconstruct it as much as possible to where we could maybe explain what's happening to a four-year-old, okay? And then from that might make it a little bit easier to understand really the overarching moral of the story. What message is being taught here? Why is this historical event being shared in the way that it is, okay? So starting in verse 1, we'll just take it in chunks, right? I like to look for like kind of natural stopping points. So obviously, if you're going to summarize a section, you don't want it to be too long, but you also don't want to try and explain a section on a cliffhanger, okay? So we're going to try and find those natural stopping points, okay? In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that troubled him, and sleep deserted him. So the king gave orders to summon the magicians, mediums, sorcerers, and Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. When they came and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream and am anxious to understand it. Okay, that sounds like a pretty good spot to stop. Okay, so one way that I could summarize this, I'll just say like early in king, we'll call him, and we can even do this, King Nebi. That's pretty easy. Yeah. What 4-year old can say Nebuchadnezzar? They can say Nebi, right? So early in King Nebi's reign, he had a troubling dream. And asked all his wise men. To help him. Because the dream made him anxious. So I don't know about you, but that seems like a little bit easier to understand. Okay. Early in King Nebi's reign, he had a troubling dream and asked all his wise men to help him because the dream made him anxious. Right? Now you can see, I've just summarized that. Okay. And we could even go further. So what we could do now is it's called deconstructing. So I can even take what I just wrote and I could deconstruct it. What that basically means is make it even easier to understand. So you'll notice what I wrote down, I can maybe swap out troubling dream with bad dream to make it easier to understand, right? He had a scary dream. All of his wise men, because he was anxious. So maybe I just kind of deconstruct it even more. Early in King Nebi's reign, well, maybe I can use the word, when he hadn't been a king for very long, right? I can summarize that even further. So again, we're doing that, okay? Okay, so that's the first chunk, all right? Early in King Nebi's reign, he had a troubling dream and asked all his wise men to help him because the dream made him anxious, okay? Let's see what the next section says. The Chaldeans spoke to the king. Aramaic begins here. May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, my word is final. If you do not tell me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a garbage dump. But if you make the dream and its interpretation known to me, you'll receive gifts, a reward, and great honor from me. So make the dream and its interpretation known to me. Okay, let's stop right there. Let's summarize what we just read right there. So let's see who started talking first. So the Chaldeans, so I'll just put some of the wise men. Asked what the dream was. But the king told them that he wanted them to tell him. What the dream was and what it meant. Or they'd die. If they could, they'd be rewarded. Okay, so let's read so far. So far we have covered 6 verses, and I've only got a few lines in my journal, so we're doing great. Early in King Nebi's reign, he had a troubling dream and asked all his wise men to help him because the dream made him anxious. Some of the wise men asked what the dream was, but the king told them that he wanted them to tell him what the dream was and what it meant, or they'd die. If they could, they'd be rewarded. Okay, doing pretty good. Maybe yours might sound a little bit different. That's okay. I've got a question that just popped into the chat. Why does the king think anyone could know what he is dreaming? I find that an odd thing. Yes, but remember who these people are claiming to be. He's actually calling their bluff. So we actually talked about this last week. King Nebuchadnezzar is calling their bluff. Hey, if you actually are magicians, mediums, wise men, all that kind of stuff, you should be pretty easily able to tell me if you actually are what you say you are. you should be able to tell me what the dream is. But some scholars also believe that he might be troubled by it, and he knows that it was a big dream, but he can't quite grasp all the details. And so because he knows it was a big deal and it's really troubling him, he really wants to get a grasp on all of it so that way he can learn what he's supposed to be learning. Okay, so there's a lot wrapped up into that, but I hope it answers your question. And thanks for putting it in there. Next section, starting in verse 7. They answered a second time, "May the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will make known the interpretation." The king replied, "I know for certain you're trying to gain some time because you see that my word is final. If you don't tell me the dream, there is one decree for you. You have conspired to tell me something false or fraudulent until the situation changes. So tell me the dream, and I will know you can give me its interpretation." Okay. So I'm going to write, they asked again for him to tell them the dream. We can actually get into a little bit of what we read today, because we're going to wrap verse 10 through 13 into this. The Chaldeans answered the king, "No one on earth can make known what the king requests. Consequently, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked anything like this of any magician, medium or Chaldean. What the king is asking is so difficult that no one can make it known to him except the gods, whose dwelling is not with mortals." So we can even stop right there. We can include that right there in this as well. So they asked again for him to tell them the dream because what he was asking was impossible unless you were God. But King Nebi thought they'd try and trick him and that made him angry. Right, because in verse 13 it says, or verse 12, "Because of this, the king became violently angry and gave orders to destroy all the wise men. The decree was issued that the wise men were to be executed, and they searched for Daniel and his friends to execute them." Okay, so it made him angry. So I'm going to put, he got so angry that he ordered all the wise men in Babylon, including Daniel and his friends, to be killed. Okay, so again, our summary is really starting to kind of round out nicely, right? So let's keep reading here. Then Daniel, verse 14, "Then Daniel responded with tact and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the king's officer, 'Why is the decree from the king so harsh?' Then Arioch explained the situation to Daniel. So Daniel went and asked the king to give him some time so that he could give the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, urging them to ask the God of the heavens for mercy concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of Babylon's wise men. The mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night, and Daniel praised the God of the heavens." So let's stop right there. I'm going to put, Daniel asked the captain of the guard why this was happening and when he heard the story, he went and asked the king if he could be spared, or sorry, if he could have time to interpret the dream for him. He asked his friends to pray with him. He asked his friends to ask God for help, understanding this, for help with understanding the dream and what it means, what it meant. And God helped them. And then we can even put this. Daniel was so thankful that, you know what stands out? He praised God before he went back to Nebuchadnezzar. So he was so thankful that before going back to the king, he praised and thanked God for his, for giving him wisdom and understanding. Okay, so pretty much what we've done is we have summarized 23 verses into this, and I'm going to read it. What we're doing, one way to understand narrative, okay, this is another Bible study tactic, is to try and summarize just by section. You read a little section, you say, okay, now let me try and put that in my own words, right? And then we can even deconstruct it further, okay? So we're going to read my summary. Maybe yours is different, okay? In fact, if you want, you can type up your whole summary and put it in the comments. But here's mine. Early in King Nebi's reign, he had a troubling dream and asked all his wise men to help him because the dream made him anxious. Some of the wise men asked what the dream was, but the king told them that he wanted them to tell him what the dream was and what it meant, or they'd die. If they could, they'd be rewarded. They asked again for him to tell them the dream because what he was asking was impossible unless you were a god. But King Nebi, But King Nebi thought they'd try and trick him, and that made him angry. He got so angry that he ordered all of the wise men in Babylon, including Daniel and his friends, to be killed. Daniel asked the captain of the guard why this was happening. And when he heard the story, he went and asked the king if he could have time to interpret the dream for him. He asked his friends to ask God for help with understanding the dream and what it meant, and God helped them. Daniel was so thankful that before going back to the king, he praised and thanked God for giving him wisdom and understanding. Okay, so I don't know about you, but that summary is a smaller chunk that's easier for me to wrap my mind around, right? So summarizing what you read is really, really valuable when you're trying to understand scripture. And again, if you get stuck because there's something historical or cultural being talked about and you're not quite sure how to summarize it, hop over to Blue Letter Bible or open an actual book commentary and see what's actually going on there. And that'll help you write a summary, right? And then what we can do now is we can deconstruct this even further, right? To make it more understandable for even like a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old to understand, right? We could keep going at this to really get to the root of what this is. It's called a paraphrase, okay? All right? That's what we're trying to do. So now what we're going to do is we're going to ask the questions of what can we learn from this story, okay? So with a much shorter story, what can we learn when we read this and try and wrap our minds around it? Okay. And again, we've now summarized this. So what I'm going to put is interpretation. This is a form. What we just did was a form of observation. So this is interpretation. And what we're going to write down are some morals of the story. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read through a section and ask myself, what's a lesson to learn there? Okay? So let's read through the summary and ask ourselves, what lessons are there to be learned? Here we go. Early in King Nebi's reign, he had a troubling dream and asked all his wise men to help him because the dream made him anxious. Some of the wise men asked what the dream was, but the king told them that he wanted them to tell him what the dream was and what it meant, or they'd die. If they could, they'd be rewarded. They asked again for him to tell them the dream because what he was asking was impossible unless you were a god. But King Nebi thought they'd try and trick him, and that made him angry. So here we go. Here's a great lesson. You know what that whole section makes me think? Apart from God, or apart from the true God, we can't truly have wisdom and understanding to interpret God's message. Because remember, this dream came from God, okay? This is a message from God. We talked about that last week, okay? And I'm going to add this to my summary. He had a troubling dream. We're going to grab some of last week. So he had a troubling dream from God. Okay? So again, apart from the true God, we can't truly have wisdom and understanding to interpret God's message. If you are not a Christian, which we'll get, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting into the application. We're just going to write that there. Let's see another moral of the story here. Continuing to read our little summary. Okay. He got so angry that he ordered all the wise men in Babylon, including Daniel and his friends, to be killed. Daniel politely asked the king. Hold on. I really need to start slowing down my writing. Daniel politely asked the captain of the guard why this was happening. And when he heard the story, he went and asked the king if he could have time to interpret the dream for him. So one thing, the whole Daniel politely asking, and actually in the Bible, verse 14, it says Daniel responded with tact. How we respond to people, even in moments of persecution, is important. So I'm going to write that down as an interpretation. Right? Because even, I mean, imagine you, right? If I interpret that, his life is on the line. The lives of his friends is on the line. But even in the midst of that, he still used tact. He still responded politely and he still requested of the king, right? So that's really important. Okay. Let's see. Asked the king if he could have time to interpret the dream for him. He asked his friends to ask God for help with understanding the dream and what it meant. And God helped them. Daniel was so thankful that before going back to the king, he praised and thanked God for giving him wisdom and understanding. So the interpretation there is, we need God's help. And it's important in big moments to join together in asking for it, asking him for it. And then they trusted, right? So we also trust that he will. Okay. And then lastly, so thankful that before going back to the king, he praised and thanked God for giving him wisdom and understanding. So we praise God for his gifts. Before we use them. Okay, So in 23 verses, in less than an hour, we have summarized it and we have gotten some interpretations. And now we're going to write down some applications of things that we could learn from this story. Okay. So first and foremost, apart from the true God, we can't truly have wisdom and understanding to interpret God's message. If you want to understand God's message, God's word, you need to have God in your life. And you need to ask for his help, right? We need God's help, and it's important in big moments to join together in asking him for that. So if you want to understand God's word, you need to have God in your life. You need to ask him for help. And you need to trust, like we just wrote, you need to trust that he will. Okay, another application here. Be careful how you respond and approach non-believers. Because the two guys, the one that ordered he'd be killed and the one that was going to carry it out, were not God's people, and yet he still used tact in how you respond to them. So be careful how you respond to and approach non-believers. Okay. And then last but not least, praise God for his gifts before you use them. Because again, that helps you maintain the right focus. God gave you that interpretation, not on your own. Okay. So there we go. So we've gotten some great things out of this narrative so far. So as we go through this narrative, that's kind of the rhythm that we're going to use. We're going to read a chunk. We're going to summarize that chunk. And then section by section, we're going to use that summary to kind of understand what the moral of the story is. And we might need to crack into Blue Letter Bible in order to do so as we keep going forward. And then we turn those interpretations and say, okay, now how can I apply that truth to my life, right? And so I hope that approach has been valuable to you. Again, another Bible study tool to use as we continue to dive deep into Scripture. If you're ever hung up and you're like, well, I don't want to, I mean, there's got to be more than just looking up words and reading commentaries. Yeah, I mean, explain it to yourself. Try and write a little summary. So that way it'll help you understand it. Put it in your words. As long as it is from truth. Don't infuse your opinion into your summary. But as long as it is grounded in truth and you're faithfully summarizing the story that's going on there, that summary can help you understand the bigger picture moral of the story. Okay? So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for commenting and letting me know you're here. I am so excited to see you guys on Sunday. This is the Deep Dive Podcast. I'm Timmy, Pastor Tim, AKA whatever. And I hope this has been useful to you. Hey, let me know what God's teaching you as we study this book together, and we continue to move through it. So this is the Deep Dive Podcast. I'm Pastor Tim. And until next time, I hope you guys have a great and blessed, rest of your days. We'll talk to you later. Bye.